off existential dread. Your 2025 ASG co-presidents, a review of Chicago Restaurant Week, an audio essay on Valentine's Day, the latest concert countdown, and the weather. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. The news cycle can feel like a constant stream of negative information. If the world has been getting you down, even on Valentine's Day, we have the answers. Reporter Mika Ellison spoke to experts to get the story on how to overcome that existential dread.
Moving up and down again. There's no discharge in the war. Don't look at what's in front of you. Boot.
Does that sound familiar? The poem Boots by Rudyard Kipling, read by Taylor Holmes, has gone viral in recent months, typically set to videos of video game characters, TV shows, and other pieces of media.
Count the bullets in the bandoliers. If your eyes drop, they will get atop of you. Boot.
In one video, Kipling's poem plays over an animation of Elon Musk.
What's up, Wildcats? It's me, Gabby.
Moving up and down again. There's no discharge in the war. Don't look at what's in front of you. Boot.
Does that sound familiar? The poem Boots by Rudyard Kipling, read by Taylor Holmes, has gone viral in recent months, typically set to videos of video game characters, TV shows, and other pieces of media.
Count the bullets in the bandoliers. If your eyes drop, they will get atop of you. Boot.
In one video, Kipling's poem plays over an animation of Elon Musk doing a gesture identical to the Nazi salute, along with other images of politicians and soldiers. It racked up almost 2 million views on Instagram. That video, and many other social media posts, express a sense of existential dread, overwhelm, and general malaise that's ramped up in the last few weeks, spurred by national events like wildfires and the sweeping changes of the Trump administration. Although it might feel like the world is literally ending, it most likely isn't. So what next? I spoke to experts, students, and advocates on how to take care of your mental health, even when it feels like it should be the last thing on your mind. Reverend Julie Windsor Mitchell is the campus minister of the University Christian Ministry. She said that in her work with student groups, particularly activists and organizers, she has been seeing a similar sentiment.
It was becoming obvious to me that, like, a lot of people are struggling with burnout or the potential for it.
To combat that, she decided to host an event for student activists to share their experiences, talk about sustainability and activism, and also engage in some self-care. Mitchell has been involved in social justice work since she herself was in college. She has a few tips for how to manage burnout.
Everything in life is about finding balance, and I want to be vocal and active in fighting for just systems in our world, but I realize that I can't do that at my own personal expense. So I have to be very intentional about taking care of myself so that I don't get burned out. Because if I burn out and then I'm just like, oh, peace out, then I am not there to do the work anymore.
She emphasized the importance of communities of care, groups that are not just focused on outward action, but are committed to supporting each other.
And when you do get down, when you do get frustrated, when you do get angry, you have to have someone there for you. And then when someone else is in that situation, you have to be there for them. Because it's very easy to just walk away. And again, if I walk away, then they won. Because that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted me to get so overwhelmed that I didn't know where to start and I just got paralyzed and didn't do anything.
Mitchell says that when the world becomes overwhelming, she focuses on keeping a larger perspective and room for positive emotions, like joy. But she added that negative emotions, like anger and frustration, have their place in this work as well.
Anger is wonderful and amazing because it creates real change in our world. And you called it generative. I love that word. To think of anger as generative, we often think of anger as a bad thing. I don't think it's bad. I think it can motivate us to action and create like more just societies. Mm-hmm. However, it cannot overtake you as an individual, mm-hmm. because it will consume you and then it leaves you nowhere.
Ben Frank is the Senior Director of Wellness at the National Alliance on Mental Illness Chicago, or NAMI Chicago. He echoed Mitchell, pointing towards the negative sides of anger, like cynicism and despair, as the enemies of good work.
We talk about burnout as a symptom, but like, what are the symptoms of burnout? And it's cynicism, it's hopelessness, it's detachment from purpose. Like, if those things are happening, what kind of a life in activism or politics or things that you care about, like, you're not going to be good at what you do. So we need to retain the ability to care, to empathize, to connect. And all of those things are antidotes to these bad feelings and emotional reactions that we have to what's going on.
He advocates for an approach to recovery and wellness that allows your brain to detach from the digital world and ground itself in the present.
We also need times where our brains like just rest. And there are specific things that you can do that allow your brain to rest. Taking a walk does that. Taking a nap does that. Daydreaming, engaging in like art where you shut off like constant thought and just kind of engage. Being close to somebody without the need to like have a hyperverbal conversation. Sometimes it's just a matter of like, I think there's a lot of physicality that's needed. And when I say that, you know, I think we've gotten into space, we talk a lot and we express ourselves and maybe write what we're experiencing. But when do we just allow our bodies to be our bodies is a really important question. So that's why exercise, movement in the simplest of forms, like going for a nice slow walk on a, you know, brisk day feels really good because all of a sudden you like you're attached to your senses and it's not just your brain working overtime.
He said that ultimately sustainability is key. You have to ensure that you enjoy what you're doing because you might be doing it for quite a while.
You can say, this is not a hopeless situation. This is how I am today. I want to do something tomorrow, so I'm going to do this or that, you know, and just kind of feed your soul and your body in a way that serves those purposes. Because I think we're not in for a quick scenario. This is some of the things that I'm sure are being discussed might carry on beyond their time at Northwestern, carry into careers, and go ahead and prepare for longevity in those spaces by investing in yourself, investing in curiosity.
Mark Harriman is on the board of Mental Health America of Illinois and has taught mental health law for decades. He says that often, resistance starts with an unexpectedly positive outlook.
So when you think about it, there are so many ways in which the world is better, and that the world has gotten worse in the last few weeks, I think we must acknowledge and we must wrestle with. But it's useful to maybe talk to some old people. and we will get through this because we will fight.
Like Mitchell, Harriman emphasized that even according to the science, it's important to surround yourself with friends and people who share your values, especially when you need someone to tell you to step back.
You may not be able to listen to yourself. You should tell it to your friends, and then they can tell it back to you. You know, you're working too hard on this. You need to go out for a drink or a cup of coffee or whatever. I'm not recommending alcoholism. But you need to go out and have some fun. If you're not having fun, you're not going to have the energy to do the difficult work that must be done. Right?
Medill Senior Evelyn Driscoll has been involved in mental health advocacy through leading her club, Active Minds. She said it can be important to balance what you can do with what needs to be done.
There's a line between being too involved to where it's damaging to your mental health, and then there's also a line between not being knowledgeable enough and being engaged in the world as we like kind of have a duty to do as citizens. And I think what's important, first of all, is to recognize that that line looks different for every single person based mm-hmm. on your experience, your mental health, your identities. And so I think just being kind to yourself about where that line stands for you.
She says that world events can be disempowering. The average person often can't do that much to change decisions at a national level. But, she says, it's important to find a way for you to get involved that shifts your perspective.
I also feel like a major thing is, like, self-care. Definitely, like, such, like, a buzzword right now, but I do feel like, I don't know, I think it was, like, Audre Lorde who was, like, self-care is a radical act. And I do think, like, when we're experiencing such scary decisions being made at the federal level, like, kind of choosing to take care of yourself is a radical act, because it's almost a protest in a way, because it's showing that, like, no, my mental health does matter, even though that some of these policies and decisions may indicate that others may not think it does, but I'm choosing to prioritize it.
I asked Driscoll what she would say to the students and others who might feel like taking a step back compromises their work, or feel like world events are overwhelmed.
I would say that you're not alone, and to lean on your friends and family and the trusted relationships you have, because I think one of the ways that we're going to get through these next couple years is by leaning on those around us, because we can't go through this alone.
These strategies might not prevent the world from falling apart around you, but they might get you part of the way towards holding up your end of it. And according to the experts, sometimes that is literally the best thing you can do. For WNUR News, I'm Mika Ellison.
For Northwestern, election season takes place in February. This year's battle ended up in a history-making outcome for the Associated Student Government. Jessica Watts reports.
Students elected James Lafayette Jr. and Jamal Omoni as the 2025 ASG co-presidents over the weekend. This election comes as a huge win for the Black community at Northwestern. James and Jamal are only the second pair of Black co-presidents in ASG history. Jamal related this to sentiments in a broader political climate.
I think showing that we can have people of color in positions of power allows people to see that we're still in a progressive time, we can still make change and actionable progress forward, and that all of our voices matter.
James and Jamal will be sworn into office next quarter. Reporting from Medill, I'm Jessica Watts.
Chicago Restaurant Week. A steal or a scam? Here's Yumi Talud with the story.
It was the end of Chicago Restaurant Week, a 17-day event celebrating the city's vibrant food scene. This year, over 500 restaurants participated, all offering fixed-price, multiple-course menus for brunch, lunch, and dinner. Michelle Zhang, McCormick third year and avid foodie, went to four places this restaurant week.
It's worth trying, like, places you want to go, but sometimes the regular menus are more worth it. So I know Olivita does, like, $30 restaurant week, but if you go look on, like, their site, they have a regular, like, $25 deal. So it's the same menu, but they just aren't upcharging.
For next year, Michelle said that she'll compare both menus to make sure she's getting her money's worth. For WNUR News, I'm Yumi Talud.
Valentine's Day comes with strong emotions, both positive and negative. But for those on opposite ends of the debate, Gabe Shumway might have a solution for you.
Today is one of the most divisive days of the year. With Valentine's Day, either you love it or you hate it, you're head over heels or you're filled with spite, but I'm here to offer an alternative mindset, how to be an ethical hater, if you will, or an extended lover, but however your glass is filled, half empty or half full, this is my outlook. Every day should be Valentine's Day. This topic has changed for me over the years. My first ever piece of journalism, it came in my freshman year of high school. I wrote an op-ed that ripped into an optional Valentine's Day tradition that my high school had for decades. At the time, I was that spiteful kid. I hated a commercialized holiday and the gift-giving traditions that came with it. 3 years later, though, I signed up for this tradition again with an open mind to change. As the tradition described, I gave anonymous gifts to a randomly assigned person each day of the week, dropping little hints about who I was. And on Friday, I hand-delivered the gift, showing who I was. And honestly, in that moment, I got the hype. And now, 5 years after I wrote that first story, I've grown as a human being. I might still be a V-Day hater, but not for the same reasons. So, to those of you who relish in the joys and love of Valentine's Day, let me ask you this. Why is this only a job for February 14th? Why is this the day that flower shops and chocolatiers are overrun with business? I, for one, think the world would be a much better place if people treated each other like every day is Valentine's Day. Why can't you go get chocolate for your partner on a random Tuesday in June? I sure have. This would make those around you feel happier. It would bring business to florists and local restaurants more consistently throughout the year. and it would bring more kindness into the world, which, let's be honest, is something we're lacking. And now, to the haters, I get it. This holiday feels like a lose-lose. Either you're lonely and surrounded by PDA on a day that has come in the dead of winter, or you're forced to fork over obscene prices for a gift. On a campus that's full of broke college students, this is the worst time of your life for an expense like this to come up. But wouldn't more consistent and casual gestures of love be a better alternative? Walking down Sheridan to see someone with a bouquet of flowers on any old January afternoon would be heartwarming. But being surrounded by pink hearts on buildings and flyers and even the dining hall cookies can be a bit much for one day. You know, it's undeniable at times that Valentine's Day is so commercialized. Every brand jumps at the opportunity to sell themed merchandise, whether that's pink M&Ms or a bouquet of roses made from Legos. Frankly, it's exhausting. The leftover products, the food waste. I like pink too, don't get me wrong, but too much of anything can be bad. Not only this, but Valentine's Day can be just as much about friendship as it is about love. Heck, even wait a few days, buy the products that didn't sell on clearance, and share them with your friends. The sooner we remove this societal pressure from the holiday being a single day event, the more we can all enjoy it. So to the listener, I'd encourage you to entertain me in this exercise. Pick a random number, 1 through 31. Now treat that day next month like Valentine's Day for someone in your life. Take your partner out for a nice dinner. Send flowers to your mother. Remember to do that on May 11th too. Or even bake some cookies for you and your roommates to enjoy. You don't need an excuse to do something romantic or to spread kindness into the world. For WNUR News, I'm Gabe Schumacher.
I'm starting to get to you.
Concerts are in full swing this winter, drawing crowds at venues from the Evanston Space to the United Center. For the best Chicago live music updates, Mary Amelia Weiss has the story.
Welcome to a Concert Countdown, WNUR News' comprehensive guide to the upcoming shows in the Evanston and Chicago area. From the Evanston Space to the Aragon Ballroom to the United Center, if you're looking to see some live music this weekend, you've come to the right place. At Evanston Space on Chicago Avenue this upcoming Wednesday, you can see blues and jazz musician Dave Spector. Spector will bring both talent and local charm to Evanston, and he's an influential figure on the local Chicago music scene. According to his biography with Evanston Space, Spector has toured all over the world and appears as a guitarist on many well-known albums. Doors open at 7 p.m., and tickets range from $20 to $25. Coming up in Chicago, we've narrowed down our selection of performances from Justin Timberlake and Foster the People. Justin Timberlake will be playing the United Center tonight on Friday, February 14th. Timberlake, known for hits like Can't Stop the Feeling and Bye Bye Bye, has embarked on his The Forget Tomorrow World Tour, and will head to a few other Midwestern stops after Chicago, including Milwaukee and Wisconsin. This will undoubtedly be a high-energy show you won't want to miss, and tickets for tonight range anywhere from $75 to $500. Pop band Foster the People, known for hits like Pumped Up Kicks and Sit Next to Me, will also be in Chicago this Valentine's weekend. On Saturday, February 15th, the band will hit the Salt Shed venue in Westtown, Chicago. This should be an exciting one as well, and the Salt Shed is known to be one of the most exciting live concert venues in the city. Tickets are selling for $200 on average ahead of the performance, and doors open at 7 p.m. Next, looking all the way ahead to spring 2025, Charlie XCX and Beyonce will be heading to the Windy City to perform. Earlier this week, eager fans waited in a brutal Ticketmaster presale to secure tickets to Beyonce's upcoming concert tour in honor of her 2024 release, Cowboy Carter. Beyonce will play at Soldier Field on Thursday, May 15th, and coming off of a fantastic year and multiple Grammy wins, this will be another high-profile Chicago show. Another Grammy success story came from Charlie XCX, who will be coming to Chicagoland on Monday, April 28th. The singer will continue to perform songs from 2024's smash hit album Brat, which featured tracks like Apple and 360. Tickets to the highly popular tour are currently going for anything from $200 to $400. That's all we've got for you this week. Tune in next Friday to find out about more concerts happening near you. For WNUR News, I'm Mary Amelia Woods.
It's February 14th, and everything is red, pink, and deliciously chocolatey. What's not to love? Oh yeah, the weather. Here's Gabby Shell with our weekly edition of Fairweather Friends.
Cats, it's me, Gabby. Welcome back to Fairweather Friends, your weekly peek into the local and national weather. This is my first time on Fairweather Friends, so bear with me here. From Evanston, Illinois, I'm Gabby Shell, and you're listening to Fairweather Friends. We're halfway through February, which is great news for all of my fellow seasonal depression affected folks. Seriously, things have been bleak around here. According to Woodstock Willie, we're just 2 weeks away from an early Chicago spring, but I think you might have forgotten to tell Mother Nature that. Temperatures are currently hovering in the mid-20s with light snow showers predicted throughout the night. Sound gross? Just wait. Temperatures are dropping back down to the single digits next week, so make sure you bundle up on the way to class, and maybe check the bus schedule. Evanston and Skokie had quite an icy day today, but not exactly because of the weather. This morning, a water main on Emerson Street broke, flooding parts of the city and suspending several cars in sheets of ice. What a Valentine's Day surprise! But as gross as this weather is, I'm feeling the Chicago love right now. A major snowstorm is crossing the nation next week, starting in northern Texas and moving up through the northeast. Luckily, the storm seems to dislike us Great Lakes people because it's just narrowly avoiding our city. But enough about the weather. I woke up this morning, checked the temperature, and put on a pink top anyway just so I could be festive. So you best believe we will be talking low. Now, here's my definitive list of the most romantic weathers. Number one, snow. I know, I'm a winter hater too, but there's something so romantic about the freshly fallen snow. You can ice skate, you can get hot cocoa, and best of all, you get a free pass to cozy up with your significant other because, hey, we all need to stay warm in this cold weather. Now, close runner-up, and on a different day, maybe the winter, a nice 70-degree May day. I'm a picnic girl through and through, and I will never say no to a good stroll around the park or a good, just, you know, some lemonade, and I feel like in May, you really feel like you've earned that warm day. Now, most overrated weather, rain. Kissing in the rain, please. I don't need my mascara to start running when I'm trying to look hot. Don't even get me started on the wet socks. It's a nightmare, and I don't know why they do it in the movies. Now, absolute worst is a cold and gray winter day, kind of like today. Like, what's the point? If you ask me out, and it's gray and cold and not even snowy, I will just stay in my dorm. Please and thank you. That's all for this week's edition of Fairweather Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay warm, or at least only mildly cold. In Evanston, Illinois, I'm Gabby Shell with WNUR News.
Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. On Thursday, Northwestern announced the 2025 commencement speaker is Steve Carell. Carell is known for his roles in the TV show The Office and his roles in movies like Anchorman and Crazy Stupid Love. He is also the father of a recent NU alum. His speech will be titled, The Importance of Lowering Expectations. The city of Evanston issued a boil water order today due to a Skokie water main break. The order stipulates that residents in the affected areas should boil all tap water before drinking. A map included in the order indicates areas of the 6th and 7th wards as affected. In national news, the Trump administration continues to crack down on diversity initiatives. At the Department of Education, which championed diversity under the previous Trump administration, when it was led by Betsy DeVos, over 70 officials have been placed on administrative leave. Most of them had engaged in some way with DEI programs at the department, many at the behest of Ms. DeVos. In international news, over 100 couples were married in Lima, Peru yesterday. The group, Valentine's-themed wedding, was sponsored by the municipality, and none of the couples had to pay legal fees for paperwork relating to their marital status. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates,